welcome back to another thrilling episode of An Abundance of Not. Garrett here with Brad and Wade.
Hey,
hello. Hi, guys.
I just had a slight French fry in my throat and caused me a slight delay.
Sure.
Before we...
Yeah, that's what you want us to believe.
Shut your face. Before we get too far, we will give the disclaimer. This will be an explicit episode, as the past two have been. We've had more fun doing it, and that's what we're going to fucking do. So if you don't like it, bye.
We'll put on some glasses and deal with it.
That's right. Go pour yourself some wine. Brad already has. And enjoy.
Yeah, some good stuff.
How'd that go again?
It's all right. I'm only a glass in, so I'm good.
So you're half drunk already.
The question is, how big is the glass?
Right.
3/4 of a bottle.
Nice. That's my kind of glass. Once again, I forgot to turn off the sound effects, so we'll be doing that as we do. So it's been 2 weeks since we've gathered.
It has been. Of our listeners that are not U.S.-based, last
keeping
week
time.
Was Thanksgiving holiday in the United States, so we were not here.
I'd like to say we were giving thanks, but we were just eating a bunch of food and feeling
yep.
fat.
We were being gluttonous and complaining about all the stuff we didn't have.
That's right.
Because that's how we celebrate Thanksgiving in the U.S.
Yep.
We overindulge at the meal so we can get that over and done with, so we can get back out to the stores and gripe about the prices of all the stuff we can't have.
Yeah, or we go Black Friday shopping and fight people for a deal that may not necessarily be worth it.
Did you see some of those videos? They were fist fighting over $5 crock pots.
Yeah. What the fuck?
They're $10 normally.
I mean, Jesus, get over it. Now, yeah. I did hear, if you didn't hear this, for the Whovians out there, I myself am not one of them, Lego has released an exclusive Doctor Who Lego set.
Yay.
And, sorry. My daughter doesn't know she's getting one on her mom's side. And apparently while she was in line to buy it, they ran out.
Oh, jeez.
At the official Lego store that is, you know, local to us. So definitely a hot ticket.
I got to look that one up because I am definitely a Doctor Who fan.
Are you? See, I don't even know what it looks like. I've just heard about it. So I'm gonna look it up as we speak now, too. But yeah, Doctor Who Lego set. I know they've had... like Big Bang Theory and that kind of stuff, which mm-hmm. I know people that are big fans of that. So there's that. So yeah, it looks like they got a TARDIS and a, I don't know, you would know all this crap, the machine that created the TARDIS or something. I don't fucking know. Some lab type deal. Maybe it's the inside
of the
TARDIS. Oh, okay.
It's the inside of the TARDIS.
Yeah. Ah. See how that is?
Yep.
A couple Daleks in there, Doctor Who and whoever the Clara Oswald, apparently.
Yep.
It also comes with a Weeping Angel. And two of the Doctors. Or it looks like, yeah, it's Father and Son Doctor. Is there a Father and Son Doctor team?
Not that I remember. Although I'm a recent convert to Doctor Who.
So. The back of this package I'm looking at is not in English, so that's part of it.
That doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, for the Whovian fans out there, there is now an exclusive Doctor Who Lego set. Good luck getting your hands on it, though, because it looks to be a hot item.
And true to form, it is bigger on the inside.
Okay. I'm going to leave that alone.
Never mind.
I'm going to behave my fucking self.
The Doctor Who fans will get it.
Meanwhile, Wade's playing Flappy Bird or something on his tablet.
Nope.
I don't know what he's doing. He's not paying attention to us. So over your 2 weeks, Brad, why don't you give us a little insight into your world? More so than
normal. Lots of driving.
Yeah. Saw that.
Yeah, so one of the downsides to moving where we did is the child custody swaps with my kid's biological father. So We did a couple long haul treks over the 2 weeks hiatus. We put just shy of 3,000 miles on the car.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's right around 700 miles, give or take, each way. And we had to do it twice, once to drop them off, once to pick them up. So it was lots and lots of driving. We did have some visitors for Thanksgiving, though. We had some friends. Some friends came down from Fort Wayne and also from Detroit. They were in the area, so they hung out with us for Thanksgiving, and yeah, we just had a general good time.
Nice. Wasn't there and talk lots of about, driving. The boy's dad was looking to move down to kind of the similar area too, or was that was
he like... had been looking into it? I'm not sure what kind of time frame that'll be.
Oh, okay.
It's not a hard, fast, set in stone, definite thing right now. You know, he's looking, but. Or he's exploring options, let's put it that way.
Got it. That's cool. I mean, what'll happen is it'll be easier.
Yep.
Very good. Yeah, so on my end, definitely a busy week. We have a vacation spot out at the Colorado River. So the first weekend of this past week, took my daughter out there. We just kind of upkept the place and, you know, stayed on top of what needed to get done out there a bit. Didn't get as much done, though, because we have a Jeep out there and the battery was dead, so we couldn't move some of the vehicles around like we wanted to.
Oops.
But I pulled it out. The first time we were there, we knew it was dead, or we found out it was dead then. I put it on a charger while we were there, or when we were there last time. But when I got that out there, I don't know if either the charger cooked the battery and it didn't keep a charge, or the charger didn't charge it and didn't have a charge. So we brought the battery home with us. I could put on a charger here and monitor it and go from there. So we wanted to move the boat around and things like that. We didn't get to do that. We just kind of did some general upkeep at the house. And then we went into Arizona and we went and saw the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. So we'll get to that in movies. And for Thanksgiving, it was very quiet for us. One of our most quiet Thanksgivings ever. Usually we go down to some friend's house down south a bit. And they're kind of the closest thing we have to family in the area. But they had some stuff going on with their extended family, so they went up north to take care of that. And we just did a very intimate little three-person Thanksgiving here at the house and had a nice, just kind of quiet weekend, which was good.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it was a nice kind of change a little bit. I mean, usually it takes us with Thanksgiving traffic about an hour to get down to our friend's place, and we didn't have to worry about that this year, and... You know, it would have been nice to be around more people, but at the same time, the quiet setting was definitely enjoyed. This past weekend, just kind of more of the same. All the Christmas stuff is up. It's kind of tradition for us to get Thanksgiving out of the way, and then the day after Thanksgiving and that weekend is dedicated to getting the Christmas decorations up, and they are. Christmas threw up in our house.
My wife was decorating the porch this week, so we've got garland and lights and giant Christmas ornaments on the porch now.
Yeah, we got some hanging from our eaves and stuff too, so. Yep, there's no mystery as to what's going on over here. Wade, anything you want to add?
Nope, my weekend was, and well, I guess week was pretty quiet. I did not go to the river and therefore did not see the Hunger Games Part 2 because I was working.
Woohoo!
I was going to see it on Monday, but I checked the times. I was like, nope. I'm not willing to wait 3 hours at the theater to see the movie.
Because that's how long you would have to wait between getting off work and...
When the movie would be showing, yes.
Yeah.
But they have popcorn.
You could have got lunch or something.
Exactly.
Or you could have gone and seen another movie and then theater hopped.
Considering I have a free movie ticket.
You could have seen two movies for free. Oh, well. I guess,
I'll see it.
Doesn't bother me if you do or don't.
Two words. Popcorn.
No. One word. One and a half words, red vines.
Two words, stuck, that's three, stuck in between teeth.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of popcorn.
Really?
Well, when I was younger and I had braces for 2.5 years, I wasn't allowed to eat it, and because the kernels would mess with the braces.
Sure.
And I've just never really developed, like...
Made up for it?
Yeah, I never really cared to make up for it. I mean, I'll grab a handful here and there, but I don't have, like, a craving for it, you know?
Jeez.
It's good, though. That means when I go take someone to a movie, I only need to buy one popcorn and she can pick out. I don't need to buy two and have to, or try to compete for the one that we bought.
Yeah, or he. I mean, we're not judging here.
Well, you know, I keep asking you. You keep saying no. Something about being married and not swinging that way. I don't know. To me, it just sounds like excuses, but you know, what do I know?
Yeah, right?
So, that took a turn. Why are we being so fucking PG, though? I can't. God damn it.
You know what? Old habits die hard. Two years of PG.
2 years of PG. We're being fucking babies right now. Okay. With nothing else in the personal stuff, I thought personal would go a little bit longer than it is, but it didn't. So be it. Movie time. Two major movies to talk about this week. Number one is Krumpus. It is currently not rated for the critics and is unrated on content. When his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays, young Max is disillusioned and turns his back on Christmas. Little does he know, this lack of festive spirit has unleashed the wrath of Krampus, a demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers. All hell breaks loose as beloved holiday icons take on monstrous life of their own, laying siege to the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for each other if they hope to survive. That actually sounds like very entertaining.
This is actually...
Sounds like something Wei would like.
Yeah, that's actually... the Krampus is actually German folklore.
They have like the German, it's like the German Christmas boogeyman.
Yeah. They have like this whole ceremony with it where like guys actually get in pretty decent costumes of like hairy, longhorned kind of goat-ish men.
Yeah. Toni Collette, Alison Tallman, Adam Scott, David Kochner, to name a few. And Stephanie LeVie Owen. Not sure who some of these people are, but Adam Scott's definitely familiar. What do I know him from? He was in Knocked Up. He was in Star Trek First Contact. Aviator. Oh, what the hell else do I know him from? Hot Tub Time Machine 2, if anyone has watched those. I'm sorry, I haven't. I'm not even sorry that I haven't. I just haven't.
Sorry, not sorry.
He's got a familiar face, but I'm looking at his history and I don't know where I know him from.
Okay.
He was in Knocked Up, so he's in some of these kind of semi-slapstick comedy type stuff. Anyway. Number two. God, he looks like... I don't know what he looks like. Number two this week is The Letters. Mother Teresa, recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, is considered one of the greatest humanitarians of modern times. Her selfless commitment changed hearts, lives, and inspired millions throughout the world. The Letters, as told through a personal letters she wrote over the last 40 years of her life, reveal a troubled and vulnerable woman who grew to feel an isolation and an abandonment by God. The story is told from the point of view of a Vatican priest charged with the task of investigating acts and events following her death. He recounts her life's work, her political oppression, her religious zeal, and her unbreakable spirit. This is rated PG and has a 14% critic rating. So, not awesome.
But, not feeling the good feelings.
Critics are not, you know, maybe they like the message, but don't like the quality. I can't say to that. Actually, I probably could. But some of these reviews are probably unkind to say publicly. If you want to know more, go to Rotten Tomatoes and search for yourself. In the box office for this past week, obviously we missed the one prior. It is what it is. Hunger Games, on its second weekend, pulls in an additional $52 million. The Good Dinosaur pulls in $39.2 million on its opening weekend. Creed pulls in 29.6 and Spectre at 12.9. So for Hunger Games, they did very similar to what Harry Potter did on Deathly Hallows Part 2. If you didn't see Part 1, you're totally lost in Part 2. I saw Part 1, and I was still kind of lost in Part 2, because it had been almost a year since I saw it.
You didn't rewatch it before going?
No, I honestly, I thought that I had the DVD, and I brought all my DVDs with me out to the river, but I didn't have it in there, so I must be missing that one from the list. I admit that that's all fault of my own. I'm not going to, you know, discredit them for it being semi-disjointed, because that's kind of the point of a part one and a part two. Definitely a wrap-up to the overall story. There's definitely some twists and turns and some questions that Katniss has that needs answering. But this is one of those movies that I don't need to tell you to go see it or not go see it. If you've been watching the movies up till now, you've probably seen it already or have legitimate plans too. If you haven't been following Hunger Games, this movie isn't going to do anything for you. You're not going to know what's happening, who's who, what pieces or plays they've made up to this point. So,
this is not the movie to get into the franchise on.
100%. This is the be all end all for the franchise. You know, it did it well. And that's just kind of the conclusion of the story. I don't really have much else to say about it. I did find it interesting, though, because Philip Seymour Hoffman, the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, obviously had a role to play in this movie, and on the credits was the sole credit listing for the character. So I don't know if he filmed the parts for this prior to passing, because they probably filmed part one and part two simultaneously, and maybe he filmed some of these parts before his pass. I couldn't really tell if they had another actor portraying him and having it CG'd over like they did with Paul Walker in Fast and Furious. But maybe they did, and the graphics are so good that you couldn't tell. But I got to thinking, like, how would that feel that an actor died, you get contracted to essentially body double for that person, but don't get any credits for it whatsoever?
What? I was in the Hunger Games. Oh, what'd you play? I played Philip Seymour Hoffman playing the guy.
Yeah.
That's
so I wonder how that works. You know, actors. I have to go back and look at like Fast and the Furious to see if Paul Walker's brother got any sort of credit for filling in the gaps for him. But on the main cast listings at the end of the movie, it was only Philip Seymour Hoffman for the character he played.
It's actorception.
So.
It's nuts.
I don't know how else that works. But I thought that was interesting. And I got a little confused with some of the character names because it had been a while since I watched previously. So again, that's on me. But
Natalie Dormer.
All your fault.
Natalie Dormer's in it. Yeah. There's someone else I thought. Oh, yeah. Gwendolyn Christie makes her appearance. It's brief, but she's in it. For those who don't know, that is... Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones, and also the Chrome Stormtrooper, who I don't know the character's name, in The Force Awakens. So there.
Ha.
I think that does it for movies, unless you guys have anything else you want to remark on something maybe you've seen or not.
No. There's a few that are in the cards, but timing hasn't worked out for us. The James Bond one,
we still haven't seen that.
Yeah, no,
still have not seen that. No, like I said, the timing just hasn't worked out on it.
We very well may go see The Good Dinosaur this weekend.
Yeah, that one looked cute.
It looks interesting. It'd be seen.
I would not be opposed to that one.
It
Hunger
almost
Games
looks too cute to me. You know, like the some dinosaurs are a little bit like all the graphics for a lot of the animated movies right now. Have been so good and almost have had a touch of realism.
Right.
I'll take Home, for example. I mean, obviously not pure realism, but the dinosaurs they have in like a good dinosaur, it seemed like we're taking a step back to a different era of cartoon style.
Heck, I'll even take the Book of Life. That was a really good animated one as well.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the animation style. It's just it's going back almost a generation or two, really, in the style of animation. I'm sure it's all still computerized. I'm sure the quality will be what we have come to expect from Disney. But it's almost like they went back to, like, early Mickey Mouse style of
no,
character design.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
no, agreed.
That's hell, Disney saying. Made an empire yeah. out of that. So have fun.
But yeah, it looks cute. I hope it isn't too cute, and we'll just see how it goes. And with that, cool. Let's jump into the movies.
Well, I'm going to start with the news.
Shut up.
Fucker. So,
ladies.
Good news for those that came down on the Sony camp in the latest console wars.
Woo, Sony! Woo!
Yay!
Considering you don't even have one.
Shut up. I have a PS3 and PS2 and PS1.
You also had an Xbox
yeah,
One, too.
Okay, so
first one, by
if
the way.
You have a current generation console.
Oh, shut up.
Garrett.
No.
News coming out from Japan is that Sony is working on PS4 Remote Play, which they currently have for PlayStation Vita and for PlayStation TV, but they will be extending this functionality to PC and Mac, which is, I think that's an awesome thing. Microsoft has announced it for Xbox One, but it's for PC only, and it's in works, and there's no time frame that I'm aware of to finalize this. But I'm glad that Sony is showing some Apple love here, that there is going to be a Mac version.
What is Sony's timeline?
Good question. Sony... announced, no timeline yet. But okay. It has been confirmed.
That they're working on it.
That they are working on it.
Got it.
Official support is in the works. And the app will work on both PC and Mac.
Nice.
I'm on board with this. I like it. Yes, obviously for the PC blowhards.
Master wait. Race.
Whatever. Stand in your circle.
And I look. Shall be lifted to the heavens for it.
Easy there, Mr. Bigotry.
I'm not denying that obviously there is a lot more flexibility in PC gaming. You can update, you know, component level. Your graphics card isn't fast enough? Update the graphics card. Need more RAM? Put it in. And you don't get that on the console. But the console has a easier buy-in and tends to get a lot more love from more studios as far as exclusive games. So it's nice to see that you'll have the option. If you have the console, this does not get you away from having to buy the console, but you know, if somebody's got the TV tied up, then you can kick back with your PC and play a console game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see what the harm is in this. You know, a lot of people in the gaming community will obviously lean towards PC versions because of those points. You can have a better performing unit than you can get a console for. Or, obviously, console life is for so many years, whereas PC you can upgrade as you go. However, this doesn't take anything away from PC gamers.
Correct.
You have to have a PC, a PS4... to access this ability, but should you have that, you have the ability to play the games from PS4 on your PC. If that's the play style, control style outlet you prefer, well, it actually opens up your gaming library that much more, because there are a lot of games that aren't ported over to PC.
Or ported poorly.
Or, once again, aren't ported over at all to Mac.
Yes.
So having that ability, should you have a PS4, but the caveat there now is, well, now if I want to play PS4 games, I have to have a PS4, and if I've spent $400 on a PS4, or however much they are, why don't I just play it on the PS4? again, duly noted, this is just an opportunity to, like you said, if the TV is tied up or you got to share an entertainment center with other people, maybe you're in a apartment type situation, you can port it over to your PC in another room and carry on. So,
the one thing that they do recommend in this is, although technically it will work, don't do this over Wi-Fi. You need a hard connection to do this.
Yeah, that's, I'd like to say that'd be common knowledge, but it's not.
No.
The lag would be beyond frustrating.
Well, you've got the internal lag from your PC to the console, and then the connection lag from the console out. And Wi-Fi just, you know, as miraculous as it is, it just doesn't have the bandwidth. It might have the throughput, but it doesn't have the bandwidth that a hardwire connection has, so.
Hardwire equals more better.
Absolutely. Much more betterish. Just wire it, damn it.
Seriously.
Actually,
you know how cheap Cat 6 cable is?
I need to. For mine. Well,
we're halfway there for yours. You just haven't seemed to care up till now. So nothing's happened.
Wade, wire it, damn it.
Yeah. Speaking of games, I've actually... I should have said this in the thing, but we've kind of updated both of our game areas. Both Garrett and I have updated our gaming areas.
Yeah, Do tell. We should have talked about this in the personal section, but my desk that you saw when you were out here, with just the black top, I had been looking to do a penny top, penny and epoxy surface to it, and I found tabletop epoxy at Home Depot for about 12, I think it was 12 bucks a box. So I picked up a couple boxes, and over the holiday weekend, I laid out, the math came out to about $20 worth of pennies. And I now have a pennied, coated in, it's either 16 or 32 ounces of epoxy on my desk. So it is many much pretty.
Is this the emergency reserves? I mean, the face value might be 20 bucks, but that means there's like 30 bucks worth of metal in it.
Yeah, I'm afraid of how heavy this desk is now if I ever do go to move it.
This is...
But it looks good.
This is the version of try to steal this, burglars.
It's not worth it.
To get through the epoxy to get 20 bucks of pennies. It's not
worth one it. Penny? Two pennies?
Yep.
But,
yep, and but Wade's is a little bit more extensive.
I have rearranged my room, and my desk that was in the corner of the room has now gone in, is now gone. My gaming setup and obviously recording setup is now in half of my closet.
Which has freed up his room floor space considerably. And if he doesn't want blinking lights at him at night, he can close the closet door and it's out of sight.
There was only like one blinking light.
I'm just saying.
And
no, it makes sense to me. I mean, from everything that I've heard, you don't get dressed anyway and sit in your boxers all day, so.
Most
who needs who clothes?
Most YouTubers don't.
Hey, listen, Mr. Works From Home 24/7, shut up. At least Wade wears boxers.
As long as the webcam, you know, just put on a shirt, you're good.
That's right.
But, yep, I'm also waiting for the last purchase, which comes in on Monday, which is a mic arm, because now it's even more unruly to use the mic when you have a closet door blocking the rotation of the stand. So, waiting for that. Then I'll be able to do a whole lot of new things, like streaming. Without a microphone being in the shot.
We're going to look into that for both of us because, you know, I'd like to get into some streaming too. And it's going to take some more legwork on my end because I don't have a camera and my backdrop is kind of crap.
Just a little.
But we'll see. We'll see about that.
That's easily fixed, though. I mean, you can hang a curtain behind you.
He does.
I have a curtain, but a lot of times the camera width is a lot bigger. So I have to look at... First of all, I need a webcam. I don't have one. And secondly, see about cropping down the video to where it's
you could
not nasty.
You could probably, like, zoom it in To where you
only curved shower rod.
To where you only get.
Well, yeah, that's part of the idea. But I gotta see. I might even see about mounting up like wiring conduit and just putting like a curtain on that, because those you can get to curve pretty aggressively.
Permanently move the car out.
I can't. My HOA won't allow it.
You'll need a green curtain.
Yeah. Or if it's a small enough
HOA?
Yeah, it's called a homeowners association. We have those out here in California.
I don't have one of those. I can do whatever I want.
Certain rules. You got to pay a money every month, but they keep the grounds looking nice.
You got to pay a money. All right.
I don't have one of those. I can do whatever the heck I want with my house.
Whatever the fuck you want.
Whatever the fuck I want, man.
Whatever the fuck you want. Need your shit. I got a fucking HOA. It's expensive. It's about the price of your goddamn mortgage. Not quite, but it's getting there.
So yeah, we both have updated gaming areas, and we may do co-op streaming, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll see. We definitely have to reevaluate some of the stuff we've been doing. I have been lacking on doing content because I've just been invested in Rust, and sometimes it's worth recording and sometimes it's not, and it's hard to know when that is.
Yeah.
Aside from recording hours of content and picking out 15 minutes, it's kind of hard to do.
That's a gigantic waste of time on our part.
Yeah. But maybe streaming it would be a little bit more fun. We'll see. But more to talk about that offline. Wade, you're up on the news side of things.
Yes. And in terms of news, we have a journalist group making the news. Now, you've probably already heard of this if you're in the gaming sphere, but Stephen Totillo, the editor-in-chief of Kotaku, the popular gaming journalist site, posted up a article titled "The A Price of Games Journalism," where he first begins, "For the past 2 years, Kotaku has been blacklisted by Bethesda, the publisher of Fallout and Elder Scrolls. For the past year, we have also been, to a lesser degree, ostracized by Ubisoft, publishers of the Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and more." This post was made on the 19th of November, and we could, I'm glad that someone's finally taken a tool to Kotaku, considering what they've been doing for the past year or so. But with hearing some other people, that this actually kind of does harm the industry a bit. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, now Garrett hates when I use this, back within the Gamergate controversy, Kotaku is still the final one, to my knowledge, that has not brought in an ethics code. And it just seems kind of what's righteous to me, no, more justifiable that these guys are now getting something handed to them when they've been telling their customer base, screw off. And now these two big publishers or developers are pretty much saying, we don't have to allow our games to go through your biased lens of reviewing. So I think this post was more of a pity of, please help us. Please feel sorry for us when they've been screwing over their customer base or their consumer base for a year plus now.
Well, but there's only so far that the studios can go. I mean, they can deny them early access to the games. But if the guys want to go out and spend $60 on buying the game, the studio can't ban them from reviewing it.
Well, that's true, but in this industry, the person who gets the information out first is usually the one who gets the clicks.
True.
And usually you need a press copy for that. And that's not just goes down to press copies, but it's, information in interviews from the developers and publishers about the games. This goes back into they stopped doing it when the developers stopped basically having contact with Kotaku when Kotaku in December 2013 reported on details existing for the at that time secret Fallout 4, and as well as in later ones the Project Assassin's Creed Victory, which then got renamed to Syndicate. So now these things are coming out, and pretty much Kotaku didn't, get to put out their stuff until, well after the game was released, and people went and found other sources of review before the game was launched.
Well, this seems like an internal industry self-cleansing on the surface of it. Look, if you're going to screw the studios over, they don't have to supply you with early access, and it kind of takes care of itself.
In theory.
Yep. And why I'm actually, I'm kind of glad that someone was finally able to stick it to Kotaku for once. And then, like other people said, it only harms the industry when this happens, when a news agency is blacklisted, because that's one organization that isn't going through the game and finding, a bug or a problem within the game that
bugs that they don't fix anyway.
Yeah.
Well, true. Let's realize journalists aren't bug detectors. They're out there to either market the game one way or the other. Hey, this is a great game. Go get it because of X, Y, and Z. Hey, this game has the following issues. Avoid getting it until bugs come out. They're not certain bugs are fixed that are well known. They're not going through and playing the game and really finding this. They're just reporting the news. Now, they may have some people that are, digging into it, and that's where they're getting their content, but they might be extrapolating it from third parties, or they might have beefs with certain games or producers or developers or whatever, and maybe they just badmouth certain stuff because of their own malicious principles, and that, obviously doesn't benefit anybody, especially if it's a decent game. Now, obviously, if you run into something like the first Aliens movie, where games or news companies, media journalists said it was a great game, people went out and bought it, and then it was crap because they were, conflict of interest. You got that to deal with as well. So,
even that, though, we still have enough diversity in the game press that I feel like that tends to sort itself out as well.
Sure.
If you've got a magazine that thinks every game by this certain publisher is magnificent, and people, you get burnt at first, but you kind of learn to not treat them credibly.
Yeah, exactly. I agree, but at the same time, some people will get burned out of it one way or another.
Yep.
Those that only buy a couple games a year, kind of like myself, who may or may not really pay attention to the journalists, I wouldn't know if, like Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I haven't really cared what anyone said about it. It's Assassin's Creed, and I will eventually buy it.
haven't yet. I'll second that.
It's one of those games, one of those franchises that I will just buy. Mm-hmm. The next Far Cry, I may or may not. I wasn't that impressed with Far Cry 4. I loved Far Cry 3. And we'll see. But Assassin's Creed, I've bought every single one of them that I could play. I haven't bought Unity because that was on current gen console, which I don't own.
It's most likely
Syndicate's the same way, but I can get that on PC, I might get that. Speaking of PC games, those of us that have followed our main channel had seen the playthrough of Oddworld Abe's Exodus. Wade was kind enough to inform me that currently there's a Steam sale going through
It ended December 1st.
Oh, it ended December 1st, but they had Oddworld New and Tasty, the remastered from the ground up Oddworld game, was on sale for about $10. Along with the previous games, Abe's Exodus and Abe's Odyssey, as a bundle, available for about $2.50. So I have now picked all three of those up, and we'll probably do a recording of all three games to have the full franchise available for viewing.
You're welcome.
Yep.
You know, part of that sale, there was a game that I meant to pick up, and just the timing didn't work out, and I missed the sale, and now I'm kicking myself because they had the old Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic was on sale for about $2.
What is it?
And
now?
I missed it.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Brad, wait a couple weeks. The Steam holiday sale is around the corner.
Woo-hoo!
This is where Gabe Newell sucks all the money out of your wallet through your disk drive or USB port.
Is that what we're calling it now?
No, seriously.
Hey, they. Yeah, I'll play with my hard disk.
So, yeah. It's, I mean, the Steam holiday sale, I've gotten 2 or 3 games, I mean, for like $10 each.
Okay, so I'd like to inform you that Knights of the Old Republic, I see two, there's 1 and 2, right? There's,
yep.
They are each right now $10.
Yeah, that's their normal price, but they were on sale for 2.
Yeah, I mean, $10 isn't huge to swallow, but it's definitely... 80% more, or no, 800% more than what it was on sale for?
I'd like to something announce like that we are not endorsed 400%. By Star Wars.
400%.
We're not what?
We're not endorsed by Star Wars or any other Steam-related...
Lucasfilm, Disney,
affiliation.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, no.
However, Disney, if you'd like to buy us out, we'll be happy to talk to you about it.
We would be completely unethical for a couple $1 billion.
I'll satisfy with a couple million. I'm an easy negotiator, you know.
So wait, would that make me a Disney prince? What?
No, you'd still be a Disney princess. Moving on.
Screw you both.
I believe the appropriate response would have been fuck you both. But we'll take screw you.
I wouldn't fuck either of you. Sorry.
Well,
feelings mutual. Don't worry.
To bring the tone down a little bit, unfortunately today, December 12th, 2015, we had another mass shooting in Southern California. Today was in San Bernardino County. Unfortunately, a county that is pretty well known for gun violence as it is. But the story is that at a social services and disability center, one of the buildings they had was an auditorium, and the auditorium was being rented out to for a banquet for county workers. I don't think there were officials, but San Bernardino County employee banquet type event. It was pretty unclear with the news today, but that was what was hinted at. 3 gunmen showed up, apparently in some sort of tactical gear, to some degree, with rifles, shot and killed 12, injured 16. The count was updated to 14 fatalities this afternoon. So definitely a somber day in San Bernardino. The last I heard, nobody was arrested or detained. They believe that one suspect fled in a black SUV. I believe they thought it was a GMC Yukon, but they didn't seem very confident on that either. But unfortunately, you know, this time of year, you had people that were shopping for Christmas presents and other assorted holidays, and now they're having to deal with funerals and general hardship with those that are injured and recovering.
And considering that, as of 19 minutes ago, so update from where we were, Syed, so Syed Farooq,
Farooq, Syed Farooq,
has been named as a suspect in the attack. That is now, apparently the death total is at 14. It says at around, what we know at this time is at around 11 a.m., at least one shooter opened fire in a San Bernardino party, or at a party in the Inland Regional Center. At least 14 people were killed, 17 wounded, San Bernardino police say.
Yep.
Police said that there were 1 to 3 assailants who were heavily armed and possibly wearing body armor, so tactical gear pretty much. After an afternoon car chase, two suspects were killed by police, one male, one female. A third person has been detained.
Okay. So what was going on in the news today at my lunch break was that while reporters were on site and the flood of ambulances were getting people to assorted hospitals, a number of law enforcement vehicles were seen fleeing the scene itself at a great degree of haste with sirens on. So it sounds like they were engaged in that car chase. None of that was talked about, however, and it sounds like hopefully some of the families got some closure with this, although I don't believe anybody, you know, better justice could have been served, I think, or maybe more accountability, but hopefully all three that were questioned and that may have been involved have been dealt with.
Not that
I'm saying police should be going around killing people. That's not my statement. But if there was a reason for their actions, so be it. And if these people were definitely involved, unfortunately, shame on me, but they deserved it. So there's that.
And anyone who suspects a relative was killed or wounded, please call 1-800-637-6653.
Yes.
So, as the mayor has issued, say, please do not panic. It is not time to become angry, but to realize that there is need to be very cautious.
This is just sad. I mean, how many times do we have to go through this?
I mean, it's so tough, you know? I mean, on one hand, I definitely want to say that we as the general population have a right to, you know, protect ourselves and arm ourselves and whatnot. But with the ability to have a gun, you have other people that will use it poorly. Now, with that being said, if you were to make guns illegal, that's not going to stop certain people from still acquiring them and using them in this fashion. So I'm not advocating for gun restriction. If anything, this may have been prevented by more people having a gun on them at the time. I saw a video this morning where armed robbers tried to take over either a pawn shop or you know, some sort of retail establishment, and the person working there had a gun behind the counter, fired off two shots. I don't recall if they hit anybody or not, but the armed potential robbers fled the scene.
I don't deny that there are outlying cases where, you know, like that one, but by far and large, I think having a more armed populace has done way more harm than it's done good. And, you know, there are incidences where the admittedly well-meaning armed citizens have harmed innocent bystanders in their zealousness.
Sure, trying to be too much of a vigilante.
And I'm not advocating for total bans, but I think we need to make it so it's not so readily accessible. Yes, guess what? The criminal element, they're always going to find a way around whatever law, whatever we do. But that's not where most of this comes from. We're not talking a majority of gang-related or, you know, mob-style violence. These are crazy lunatics that are able to get their hands on guns because we've made it way too easy to do.
Sure.
I mean, I'm looking at the website that collects gun violence-related statistics, and so far in 2015, there have been 12,000 gun-related deaths.
Wow.
12,000.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, 1,100 of those were defensive. 2,000 were home invasion. 1,700 were accidental shootings. There is no... What the fuck are we doing? Why are there accidental shootings?
I want to try to put that number into perspective as well, though. And I don't have a current... this year date. But according to Wikipedia, you know, the most accurate source of information there can be, in 2013, there were 32,000 vehicular-rated deaths in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gun has been, you said 12,000?
12,000 deaths, yes.
12,000 deaths. I'm not trying to downplay that 12,000 is not a big number. It's absurd. 32,000 is a ridiculous fucking number.
Oh, agreed.
But at the same time, as much as the media wants to play up that guns are the worst thing that faces population, that's not the case. However, there are still way more deaths occurring than there should. And what can be done to prevent this?
Okay, let me put a little bit of a spin on this, though. Cars have other uses.
That's very true.
Yep.
Guns don't. Yes. You cars, only have a gun
to... Cars
are
always in use, essentially, by relation, whereas guns are not. Yet, that number... Now, if you take that factor into percentage... 32,000 deaths a year, it's actually closer to three, with vehicles that are always active for all intents and purposes. Compare that to 12,000 gun deaths that, like you said, are only used to fire a projectile, whether hunting, whether target, or more malicious means. So that's a extremely good point. Thank you for throwing that in there.
I mean, if you outlaw cars, you put the entire country in the Dark Ages.
Yes.
If you outlaw guns, people stop dying. From gun-related. Okay.
Well, sure.
Okay. If you stop cars. My point is that cars have a legitimate peaceful use.
I agree.
I'm guns not trying to say are we used should ban cars. To I'm kill. Not saying that.
But you know, we talk about what could the fix be. I personally feel, and this is me being a non-gun owner, so you know, take that into consideration. But in California, if you want to buy a unconcealable firearm, I'll say that cautiously, because if you try hard enough, you can conceal just about anything. But under
you general should see use, what I got in my pants.
Bouncing away.
Whoa!
But rifles, shotguns, you know, two-handed firearms.
Yes,
you can more or less buy and walk out the store with that hour, give or take.
Yes.
But a handgun. Revolver, semi-automatic, whatever, has a 10-day grace period. You can go in, you can order it, you can pay for it, but you cannot take it home for 10 days. Part of that's a background check. Part of that is to make sure you're not buying something out of haste to go act poorly with.
Did you have
a... Why not have that same rule across the board? And... why not implement a mandatory gun safety awareness certificate or certified class with a firearm purchase? Now, if you already have a certificate from a previous purchase, you could bring that with you or show it. So if you're buying a second or third gun, you've already, you've gone through and expressed, you know, you can show them you've gone through this. But now you're forcing every gun owner to be more or less certified. And, I mean, they got to register the firearm when they buy it new anyway. So, that covers the new purchases. But what about the side transactions? I don't have a fix for that. How do you regulate that?
Well, it's not easy to regulate, I'll grant you that. But maybe there needs to be the same checks, you know? Make the background check hotline available for everybody. If I'm going to sell you a gun, then I have to call and make sure that you're okay to receive it.
And if you sell somebody a gun and you don't do that and something happens, you are then liable.
Yep.
Because you're still technically the registered gun owner.
Right.
The sad thing is there's a certification for being a scuba person, someone who does deep sea diving, but not for guns.
Yeah. So we have to certify you to protect yourself, but we won't certify you to buy something that harms others. Great.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. And coming from somebody who has held concealed carry permits in two different states and a former firearm owner, you know, I am not opposed to owning them. I'm not advocating a total ban. You know, I believe there are at times legitimate reasons. You know, maybe you do go hunting and you bring home food. I don't think that should be illegal. But we have made it far too easy. I got both of my permits in both states. I did have to do a background check. I did have to do fingerprinting, but they came by mail. I didn't have to do any kind of safety courses. And then I could take my concealed carry permits to a gun store and I could purchase. Again, minimal checking involved, and away I went. I was licensed to carry a lethal weapon with no training.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that.
Exactly. We don't let, going back to your example, we don't let you drive without proving you know how to handle a 3,000-pound weapon.
Correct.
But we'll hand you this nice little package that you can hide in your waistband and wipe out 10, 15, 20, 130 people with, and you're cool, you'll figure it out.
Now, what I find interesting, too, is the focus on certain types of weapons from the media, mainly the assault rifles. Now, I'll raise my hand and question why anyone needs an assault rifle. That's not
agreed.
That's not military. It's not necessary. It may be fun to shoot, and that's fine. I have a bow. I don't hunt. Why? I find it fun. I'll accept that as a more or less a statement because we all have our vices. But assault rifles aren't really the problem either, though. I bet if there's a statistic on that website you were looking at, a .22 caliber, which is pretty much the smallest caliber bullet out there, is probably responsible for a majority of those accidental shootings. Why? They're cheap. They're a small size gun with minimal kick. They're easy to shoot. And they're an even smaller weapon versus something like a 357 Magnum or, you know, a Glock or a rifle or, assault rifle for that matter. You know, the .22 caliber, as small of a round that is probably one of the more, the larger culprits for accidental shootings than any other ammunition out there.
Because it feels like a toy.
Yeah. The fear factor is gone with it. Mm-hmm. It's like holding a BB and it's like shooting a BB gun. I've shot a .22. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's louder than a BB gun, but it feels pretty much exactly like an air rifle. So
to your point that it's fun, again, I'm not advocating a total ban.
Yeah,
you know what? I agree. It can be fun to fire off a full magazine on full auto of 5.56 ammunition downrange. Mm-hmm. Make it so that you can only own it if you own a gun range. Now I can go rent it and I can shoot it and have fun, and it gets locked up when I'm done. It's not available to the general population.
It's or only you buy one and store it at your local gun range.
Yeah.
And you can there you go. You can check out your individual weapon and go do that. You know who else does that type of system? Ferrari. Ferrari has a car that is not street legal. If you buy it, Ferrari stores it and you tell them what track you want to drive it on and they'll meet you there.
as much as I have bristled at the limitations like California has on magazine size.
Yes, I think it's a maximum 10 round clip in California.
You know what?
If not,
I'm in favor now.
But that didn't stop three people from walking into an auditorium with some sort of rifle in each and potentially each person, and killing now 14 people and injuring 17 others.
Yes.
Those may have been under. I mean, do the math. That's what, 31 potential bullets, assuming every bullet hit.
No, I agree.
You know, so I mean, we're only talking again. That's 10 rounds a person.
We need to do more. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, but the blanket ban and the blanket we need to have more gun control is not the answer per se. We definitely need more gun education, especially at time of purchase.
We need more education. You know what? I will go against you on that one. We need more gun control. Blanket ban, no, but tighter controls on who can get it, when you can get it.
I'll
definitely need
further.
To do more.
I think it's less important on the gun as it is the ammo. We talked about having a certificate to go buy another gun. You should have to show your certificate to buy ammo. I am a registered, certified gun owner. Here's my certificate. I need a box of, 45
whatever.
Caliber, whatever. That's what I think needs to happen.
So
you can still buy whatever you want. You need to get educated. You need to get certified, and you need to be registered.
You want to know how easy it is to get ammo? Back at the old house, a neighbor across the street was able to make his own.
Yep. He had shotguns, and he had ammo presses in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
But he would have had to buy the gunpowder. He would have had to buy the buckshot. He would have had to buy the empty shells. And those three things should be things that you need to show your certificate on in order to acquire any of those components and all of those components, in my opinion, with the system we're talking about.
So before we wrap up, I'll leave you with two sobering thoughts.
I'm not even
drunk. As if this hasn't been sobering enough.
But I'm not even drunk.
I know. So carrying on from our discussion 2 weeks ago, about us losing our humanity?
Yes.
Were these guys Syrian?
The name Saeed Farouk is definitely an interesting one. I can't speak to them being Syrian. The article we just read said that there was another male and female that were killed by police, but no ethnicity was portrayed in the article we read.
I'd be interested to find out. Because we've had a lot of violence from Americans.
Oh, agreed. There's a white male has... Look at some of the local terrorist attacks.
Colorado shooting.
Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah, the Planned Parenthood in Colorado this week.
Yep.
There was another one.
Yeah, we could have talked about that for a while, too.
Yeah. Psycho. You know, we're so afraid of everybody on the outside that we're not taking care of what's on the inside. So here's the thought. How old's your kid?
9.
Okay, good. So yours are right there in with mine. You have a 9, I have a 10, and an 11. So far, this year alone, and it doesn't separate out the two categories, but 640 children up to the age of 11 have been killed or injured by gun violence.
Mm-hmm. That's actually lower than I would have expected.
Well, it cuts right. off at 11. If you count up to 17, it goes up to 3,060.
Uh-huh. So between the age of 12 and 17, you've got...
is 2,400.
2,400 versus the ages of 0 to 11. But, so that 5-year period is
dangerous.
Is dangerous compared to, the ages 0 to 11, the double that younger.
But how are we okay with this? That's 600 kids.
Mm-hmm.
that either won't get to see their next birthday or will get to see it but have been forever changed.
Yep.
Why aren't we okay with this?
I don't have an answer. I will say, though, that I've seen, I don't think that it's the age that's... The age is not a problem, though. We're getting long and in-depth in this, and I apologize, but age is not a problem. I, at 10, was doing things that was not legal for me to do. But I was educated in what I was doing, and I probably did it better than anybody else out there because I had the respect for it and I had the knowledge for what I was doing. I've seen young kids, pre-11, handle firearms that would rival many, many adults, because they were educated, informed, and had been taught a respect for it. It's the ones that haven't. And whose fault is that?
I think there's enough blame to go around on that. There's definitely a blame for the parents for having firearms in the house, unsecured, for not teaching their children, A, how to handle them, and B, leave them the fuck alone.
Agreed.
And I think there's a certain amount of responsibility on the rest of us as well that has made it so easy for children to get their hands on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not okay.
No, agreed. And again, we're not calling for a global ban on firearms. We're calling for a little more scrutiny at time of sale. We're calling for required education at time of sale and proof of education at time of further purchases of both firearm and ammunition. I mean, that's the only way that you can increase the safety factor while still allowing the constitutional right to stay in place. In my mind, I don't know any other solution to improve or allow for both.
Even if we did have a ban, people will find it different ways.
That's correct. Bans only cause the lawful citizens to follow suit. Those that want to get around it will get around it. And there's nothing you can do about it then.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed with you there.
Ban
but,
is not the answer.
But it would reduce the accidentals.
Yeah.
Because there just wouldn't be the availability for it to be an accident.
Sure.
And it would limit a lot, not all, but a lot of the crazies.
Sure.
Because, again, it's just too easy. If not advocating total, but if it was a total ban, yes, there's still going to be the major criminal element. They're not going to give it up. They're already operating outside the law. Why would this be any different? Fine.
Well, but then you force people that really want it to go outside the law too.
And be
exactly.
It would be a black market boom. It would be like prohibition, but for guns.
Exactly.
Damn, but it would make it a lot
title.
Harder for the crazy people to get it.
Mm,
not
I
impossible.
Doubt that.
Not impossible. They can't go down to Big Five and buy a shotgun. I agree. But I think as a society, we're blind to think that like we're saying, that's not going to end anything completely, but it will reduce the situation at hand now.
Yes.
But is that the right direction to go?
Well, and that's where the debate goes on.
Correct. And we'll end it there because we're already gotten into this a full 10 minutes longer than our normal time. So we hope...
we're making up for last week.
We hope that you had this caused some thoughts for you, and maybe you have some opinions on the matter. We'd love to hear them. Hit us up at Facebook. Let us know what you thought. Facebook.com/abundance.not. Or at Twitter, @abundancenot. Wade is @AAONSeawall599, I think.
Yep.
And
you can keep an eye on those tags, and we may say, hey, we're streaming at this time.
That's right. Love to hear from you. So let us know what's going on. And with that, I think we'll see you next week.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.
And just gaming.